Oh, it's bonus episode Friday.
I want to scum stream with...
Epic fail. Hold on. I forgot to adjust something. God damn it. Vinny's going to be so mad at me. Vinny, you mad at me?
No.
You should be. I fucked up.
That's fine. I don't get mad at you when you fuck up.
You don't?
No.
This is bizarro land. I like it.
I get mad at you when you don't promote the show.
Oh,
I get mad at you.
You get mad at me a lot.
When you skirt your consequences. I get mad at you when you smile talk.
Collar's getting real loose over here.
Hey, stop tugging at your collar. Make me uncomfortable. I hate that too.
Can I just say before we start the show that I have fumbled this intro so badly. I have never fucked up worse on introducing a podcast in my life. I was telling Vinny when he got over here, this is my eighth show since Monday that I've done, and it might be too much. I need a second
Nobody
to refocus.
Told me to be boasting.
I'm not bragging. I'm failing miserably at life and everything. Anyway, what were you going to say? Hola,
well,
creepos
you.
Or something?
Yeah, I was saying hola, creepos. I'd also like to thank you for letting me come over here and watch you flail today. I've enjoyed every second of it.
Wow, what a day I'm having.
It's
yikes.
A creep-off bonus episode. Hola to the cream of the crop creepos. You people rule. Thank you for supporting us.
Cuz-a-roo.
Forever in your debt, and if you need us to take care of anybody, wink, wink, you know what that means. We'll take care of it for you.
We got you. No problem.
We got you. So today, Carl, we are going to do something I've been wanting to do on a bonus episode for a very long time, ever since you brought him on to the main show.
Oh, today, what is that?
For the first time, we are going to watch a edition of Rob Wolchek Investigates.
Mm.
For those of you who don't know, Rob Wolchek is a Detroit-based attorney turned news reporter who goes out and catches people who are ripping people off, committing fraud, and overall, he's very good at it. He's one of the better investigative journalists.
I was just going to say, investigative journalism is gone. It's
dead.
And why is that? Because it's hard work. It's difficult to do. So I love it when people are still doing it and doing it well.
And this guy has an analytical mind. This is an older video. But I really wanted to start with this one because I have a feeling this is something we could go back to because they're all a lot of fun.
Awesome.
And my favorite is when he catches contractors, just the shitty contractors who leave people's homes in shambles. Not what we're going to do today.
Adam Carolla had a show to catch a contractor. It didn't last very long.
Yeah.
But that was also fantastic because we've all been screwed over by these fucking people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll be there tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, you know, my my dog got run over by, you know, a reindeer. What? I gotta go. I'm going into a tunnel. You're making that noise with your mouth. No, I'm not. I'll be there tomorrow. Like, everybody's been there, Carl.
My dog got run over by a reindeer.
I'm just saying, they're bad excuses, these people. They're bad liars. So, we're going to watch a video later after we do some scum stories.
Right, and then we're going to watch three episodes of Thunder in Paradise. And we're also going to do some scum stream stories, and then we'll call it a day.
Carl, I want you to know
Let's do a marathon.
Next Friday
is
Thunder in Paradise Friday.
Yes!
First Friday of the month, baby. We're going to start off October.
Good.
With some hurricane.
I'm excited about that.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's jump into the stories, because the sooner we jump into the stories, the sooner we
get
can
to
go
the video.
Home. We get to the video. Yeah, the video.
Sure, we can go home. You got to act like you want to be here, Benny. We talked about
in your basement with that green felt pool table.
Come on, I grabbed you a really nice beer. What is it, like a Miller Lite or something? Yeah, come on. Things could be worse.
Oh.
A fancy Miller Lite.
It's a fine Pilsner.
It is a fine Pilsner.
Well, let's talk about a fine teacher, shall we? A 35-year-old educator from Indiana was arrested this week, Carl, after she was caught bringing meth to an event at the school.
It's so bizarre to me because if you want to do meth, just get any other job. Just don't work with children. It's really easy. I never wanted to work with children because I also like drugs.
Uh-huh.
Not
uh-huh.
math.
Uh-huh.
But it's very easy. If you want to do drugs in your life,
uh-huh.
don't teach children things. You know what I mean? I mean, is it that difficult?
Explain to me why every teacher I know is an alcoholic.
Wow. Alcohol.
Is that the result of teacher being
yes.
a teacher? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Drugs is fun. Alcoholism is the side
necessary.
Effect of the job.
Alcohol is necessary. Yes. I was listening to Why Are You Laughing? Blind Mike Show.
I've heard of it.
And they were covering Norm MacDonald's special from 2011. And Norm's got this whole thing about alcoholism. He's like, yeah, you know, it's a disease, but, you know, it's the only disease that, you know, you can drink a lot. So that's pretty cool. In fact, it is the disease. Drinking a lot.
Well, this 35-year-old teacher, Sarah Jane Duncan, was taken into custody on Wednesday and charged with one count of possession of methamphetamine and one count of possession of drug paraphernalia. Now, how did she do this and why did she do this? Let's talk about it. Why she did it is because she likes meth.
Correct.
How did she do it?
Yep.
She hid it inside of a scrunchie that had like a zipper on it.
Vinny.
Yeah.
Always put your drugs in your bra. Vinny knows this.
Bra or coochie, folks. Bra or coochie.
You just put it in your hair is just the dumbest thing you could do.
When I read this, I just was imagining. Remember that scene in Casino with Joe Pesci's like smacking his wife across the face over the kitchen table because the diamonds are in her hair?
Yeah.
I was like, he should have thought scrunchie.
Right.
Joe Pesci thought he could have abused his wife less if he had just thought of this. But, you know, he's Italian. He's fine with it. It's not his problem. So here's what happened. She went into a student event, which was family fun night. The event was coming to a close, and Duncan allegedly took a picture with two students inside of a photo booth that was put in place for the event. Now, both juveniles stated that Duncan let her hair down for the photo, as, you know, a classy meth head would.
Yes.
She likes the feeling of her hair on her neck, especially when she's on meth. The affidavit states, after the photo, the juveniles cleaned up the area and located a bluish-colored velvet-type scrunchie with a white zipper on the table. They noticed the scrunchie was heavier than a typical scrunchie. They opened the zipper pouch and observed a glass vial that contained a white powder substance that the two believed to be drugs.
So, let me get this straight. You're using a scrunchie in your hair. And I've never used a scrunchie. I don't have long hair. But if I would imagine that if I were to, and I dropped it, I would immediately pick it up. Even though it has zero value, they're a dime a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's my scrunchie, and I dropped it, I'm going to pick it up. This woman has drugs and drug paraphernalia in a scrunchie and just lets it fall on the floor and walks away?
Every person who is a casual drug user knows where their drugs are right
yes.
now. But I use the word casual. Mm. We're talking about meth, baby.
Good point.
We're talking about meth. She probably saw, some balloons in the corner that interested her.
Well,
that she felt she needed to go explain something
what's
to.
What's crazy about this is that it's family fun night on a Friday at the school. It's one fucking hour. It's 5 to 6. Can you just leave your meth at home for one fucking hour? You got to have it on your person.
Dude, you think she's the only one who pre-gamed for family fun night?
Good point. Good point.
You think every parent there didn't have every dad there didn't have a flask and a one-hitter?
That's what I'm talking about. Those are very acceptable. get
no
drunk, bad. Smoke some weed. You got to deal with your family. I get it.
They also found in the scrunchie was a cut straw, which I thought was funny.
Yep.
Just snorting it. Now, the students brought the scrunchie to another teacher who notified the principal and the vice principal.
Narc.
They brought it to Mrs. Tattletale.
Yep.
Two janitors who were working that evening told the principals that they had seen Duncan frantically searching for some kind of hair tie near the gym doors after the event had ended. Police were called into custody of the scrunchie and the glass vial.
Drugs are bad. You Dorks. Shouldn't do drugs.
Only
Everybody step back. We got scrunchie.
Only users lose drugs, Vinny, as we know.
Amen, Carl.
Yeah.
Amen.
I can't imagine the panic when you're like, oh, fuck. Where's my meth? Could you imagine that feeling? I don't even know what that would be like. Like, oh, shit, what do I do with my meth? Oh, fuck. Where is it?
Well, here's the fun part, ladies and gentlemen. Now the school's investigating this. Now they're like, okay, we have a scrunchie that has somehow appeared with meth in it.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a student? Was it a teacher? Well, they look back at all sorts of video and like, oh, look, there's Mrs. Duncan with the scrunchie hair.
So the White House couldn't figure out whose drugs it was, but this elementary school could. That's odd, don't you think?
You know how many people walk through the parts of the White House that are sectioned off from where people are allowed to walk through?
I don't, but somebody does. It's all documented, but anyway.
It's probably leftover from Clinton. Or Bush Jr.
Yeah.
So police took custody of the scrunchie. They made this woman, because she's now the suspect, take a drug test. Now, here's the fun thing, guys. I'm going to give you a warning. If you're new to the world of recreational drugs and you've never had to take a drug test before, and you decide you're going to give them fake urine, here's the number one, the first thing they do when you give a urine sample, because they make you do it there. The first thing they do is check the temperature. It is the first thing that they do. They take a little dropper, and then they put it on the back of their hand, just like a baby, smother, you know, making sure that the milk is the right temperature.
Nobody pisses ice water. Nobody.
Yeah. When your piss is completely cold, stupid,
yeah,
you're caught.
Yeah.
They know what's going on. And you know what else they know you're caught? When they do the third test, and you drop a container from the back of your shorts. While being supervised.
Oh, boy.
So she's been fired, and that was all based on the alleged attempt to alter her drug test is what they fired her for. So
I think this drug addict might be a liar.
I hate to label people.
That's what I'm starting to think.
Not a fan of it. Let's go to Asheville, North Carolina. Let's keep it moving. You are into acupuncturists?
I am not.
Acupuncture.
I've never done that before.
Why the fuck would you?
I mean, some people say it works. I don't know.
Yeah, okay, good. Well, I just look at it, and it's not a sales pitch that's working for me.
Well, it's similar to meth is not a good PR.
Sure. I mean, you could sit there and tell me how much I'll get done all day.
Right.
You'll get everything you need to have done, but, you know, your teeth are going to fall out, and your family will hate you.
Or the Artie Lang joke, if you need to walk to St. Louis in a weekend.
Meth. There it is. Well, an Asheville acupuncturist is charged with sexually assaulting one of his longtime patients. Shi Ying Kwai was arrested on September 26th. He's 90 years old.
Okay. What are we talking about then? What are we talking about?
We're talking about idiots who think they're going to get ancient Chinese secret. And they're going to this guy who's like, oh, yes, I will show you what to do. It's acupuncture. Let me stick you with a bunch of needles.
I'm so mad at this article because it calls the woman a survivor.
You're saying that River LaJoyce isn't a survivor.
She's a survivor.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is she dead?
Of a 90-year-old man who wanted to sexually assault her. Wow. How did she survive that? Wow.
Well, technically they're correct. Is she dead, Carl? Is she dead?
No, she's not dead. Not yet.
Okay.
Everyone's going to die someday, though, Vinny.
What say you, Lady K?
Even the Miami Dolphins.
I know Tua's family's going to die. Okay. So here's the interesting part of this. This woman gets down on the table. She's been going to this guy for 4 years. Let's get down to the business. Mm-hmm. He's got her pumped full of these fucking little tiny needles, for those of you who don't know what acupuncture is. Mm-hmm. They stick these little needles, and somehow they're supposed to alter the energy in your body and the way that it flows to your muscles.
And I'm sure it works.
Yes, of course, because, you know, we all have energy just flying through our bodies. That's how it works.
Actually, you just have lethargy flying through your body. But
we have a nervous system.
The rest of us have energy, yes.
We have a nervous system, but I don't know if this is about the nervous system or about chi or whatever the fuck.
Sure.
Either way, I'm not going for it. So this woman, this is her story. She said she'd see him twice a week. Nothing was ever amiss until her last appointment at the end of August. She said, quote, I started to realize it wasn't right when he started taking my dress down as I had needles in me. He just began taking my clothes off, basically, and that's when I was like, okay, this isn't right. And then he proceeded to put his mouth on my body, and it just heavily escalated from there.
That could be part of it. I don't know.
Pinned on the table, the 28-year-old said she screamed for help, but no one came. If you have trouble taking a 90-year-old Chinese man who isn't like Jackie Chan.
He's not Jackie Chan.
You're the problem.
Dianne Feinstein is in better shape than this guy. And by the way, this woman, because she was interviewed on the news, I wouldn't sexually assault her with your needles.
Yes.
She's not my type. I can tell you that.
Well, this guy, I don't know. He's 90 years old. Maybe he wasn't wearing his glasses.
Probably.
So she says that the needles were in her and left her in partial paralysis.
What a fucking victim. And then she called the guy.
She's not a victim. She's a survivor, you son of a bitch.
I know. She's trying so hard to be a victim. And even the news story, there's like,
well, a fucking 90-year-old gummed her vagina. Well, she had a bunch of, well, yeah, she stuck a bunch of needles
in her. Fucking
vagina. You don't know where it was.
And well, she would have said if it was, because it was a boring story. And the the news story about this is like, this is a Channel 4 exclusive. Like, well, yeah, of course, because it's not a news story. That's why none of the other news networks are talking about this, because it's not a fucking story. Yeah. And then this woman is
Channel 13 was like, let 4 have this one.
They need it more than we do. And then this woman tries to get it one more dig in. She's like, yeah, I mean, he was like a grandfather to me. Oh, I mean, a great grandfather to me. Like, ooh, burn. You got him good.
Yeah, well, he is old, Carl.
He's an old guy. He's an old guy.
I can't believe you're making fun of the survivor. Either way,
You can't!
You're a green. I'm a victim. What the hell was I doing then? I didn't belong then. Please clap.
That's a weird one.
It worked. I got the point.
It's called victim blaming on my board, so I hit it.
Either way, he's under arrest and his bond is set for $100,000. This 90-year-old man who gummed this woman. I imagine he doesn't have teeth anymore. He just had his gums on her going, okay. Arr, arr, arr.
It's a non-story. Moving
all right, Alabama.
Yes.
Let's visit Alabama.
Let's do it.
Now, a Lee County man has been sentenced to 12 months in county jail. County jail.
Mm-hmm.
After pleading guilty to after having sexual intercourse with a friend's dog, and the crime was captured.
This is a 66-year-old man?
Yeah.
Why are all these old guys so fucking horny? What is going on right now, Vinny?
It was an 11-year-old husky. Which
even the dog is old. This is gross.
Which technically, it is hard for people their ages to meet.
So, that's gross.
So it's a 77-year-old dog and a 66-year-old man. Ugh.
It's literally the senior prom.
I hate this story.
According to court documents obtained this week, Stanley Eugene Price pled guilty to one count of bestiality, which in Alabama, you ready for this, Carl?
Mm-hmm.
Class A misdemeanor.
Misdemeanor, okay.
So, you know the ages, statutory ages across the country?
Of course I do.
For those of you, for those of you zoophiles out there, Alabama might be the place to be.
Or Spain. We've talked about this many times.
Please go to Spain.
As long as the animal doesn't complain, it's legal in Spain.
According to court documents. We need to put that. That's the next creep off t-shirt. If the animal doesn't complain, it's legal in Spain. Would you buy that t-shirt? I'd sell that t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to wear that shirt out in public.
Yes, everywhere. You know what? Wheel of consequences. If the animal can't complain.
What are we, Opie? We're just going to put everything we say on a t-shirt now?
Yeah. That should be our new star. Everything should just be something dumb we said with no context.
That's what Opie's. That's literally what Opie's store is. Anyway, keep going. I'll pull it up. It's so fucking...
It's not like our store now. Lee County Sheriff's deputies in May informed Price they had sexual intercourse with the 11-year-old husky. Investigators were able to retrieve video footage. Come on. From a home security DVR showing the act. According to the complaint, Price was not intoxicated at the time of the incident, so he couldn't use that as a excuse. I would have lied. Now, what am I looking at?
Cheers.
I don't listen to Joe Rogan or medical advice.
For medical advice, yeah.
I like it. Oh, okay.
I know,
look at
I
this
know.
One. Funko Pop Opie from 97.
Yeah, hilarious.
Yeah.
Pinky's up.
That's just cute.
Dude, he's still got fucking Ruizing shit on here.
Does the family not know about that?
I beat anorexia. Hashtag Ruizing. What the fuck is this guy doing? This is what I'm talking about. This is embarrassing. Hi, doggy. He's got a shirt with his dog on it that says, "Hi, dog." Okay, now this I would wear. What a fucking lunatic.
Let's buy those. Let's buy matching those.
This is a millionaire we're talking about. A millionaire who's famous.
Let me ask you a question.
Greg Opie Hughes has a high doggy shirt.
Is he still a millionaire? I mean, he hasn't been bringing in the income in years.
I don't know. He was doing a show recently. I meant to talk about this. Maybe we can bring it up tomorrow on WTP. He was doing a thing.
Come back here. Thanks for reminding me.
He was doing a thing about how Anthony's losing money and he's more successful than Anthony is now. Mm. And Anthony's like, I run a company that makes millions of dollars. This guy does nothing. What is he talking about? But Opie was literally bragging that he makes more money than Anthony right now. It's so stupid.
Like, in interest? Like, what is he?
I have no idea. I see his.
Is he a stock market guy?
I doubt it. He's a really dumb guy.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry. Keep going. Maybe his high doggy shirts are flying off the shelves.
Hey,
I don't know.
Hey, Carl, I sent you a video from a Jack in the Box.
You did?
Yeah, in the first email with all the links. Did you not notice that? Here we go.
God damn it. This is too much.
Is there a fumble? Is there a fumble?
Hold clip? On. Working on it. Here we go.
Let me fill you in on what we're going to talk about. Okay. A video that we're about to watch shows the moment a Jack in the Box drive-thru worker opened fire on a family after they argued about an order of French fries.
This is fucking nuts right here.
Anthony Ramos was at the Houston fast food joint with his pregnant wife and his six-year-old daughter when employee Alonia Ford opened fire at him on March 20th.
Well, listen, I don't even blame her because it's like when you're working in fast food, either shoot or be shot. Right? I mean, how many times do we hear about the customers shooting at these people? You got to get your fucking piece out.
You're not wrong.
I'm not wrong about
this.
You
need to be armed if you're going to get go through a drive-thru these days.
I have the video. I have the video ready whenever you're ready. You want to watch it now?
Okay. Or? Well, let me just give you a little bit of preface.
Mm-hmm.
The dad stopped to get the food. He returned to the window, so he came back around because they missed an order of curly fries.
Dude.
Now, this woman refused to fill the order.
That's one thing worth dying over, curly fries. I get it.
From a Jack in the Box? Jack in the Box isn't the worst.
I mean, I don't know if I've had curly fries from Jack in the Box specifically because they're not around here, but curly fries, bro.
I would drive, they're worth driving back around. I'm not taking a bullet for curly fries.
I feel like Chris D'Elia. Dude, curly fries, dude, curly fries, dude, curly fries.
Where are the children, Chris? Dude. I'm looking at you, Chris. Dude. Where are the children?
Dude, curly
Chris,
fries.
Chris.
Bruh.
Chris.
Curly fries.
Where are the girls?
I'm doing my curly fries bit, Vinny. Hold on. Curly fries. Dip. What are we talking about? Curly fries?
All right. I can't stay mad at you, Chris.
I lost it on that one.
All right. So an argument ensues between them. The footage shows Ford throwing ice and ketchup at Ramos and his family before she pulled the gun. So let's watch the video now. Let's get rid of high doggy, which I'm buying you for Christmas.
Please do. I feel like when you give a kid money, you know, the old term, it burns a hole in their pocket. Like, sure. They just can't wait to spend it. This is a woman who's got a gun, and she's just looking for any reason to start shooting at
when
people.
When you see this video, folks, you are going to realize very quickly, this woman does not know how to use that gun.
No, the woman
who's standing there in the window is the luckiest person in the world. Now, there's no audio, so you could probably kill the audio on that. It's annoying.
Yep.
So what you're seeing is this woman yelling at the people.
Well, what's crazy is this woman right here is working the drive-thru. This woman back here who has nothing to do with it, looking at her phone.
The one who's looking at her phone.
She's the one who ends up shooting at them.
Yes.
she's not even a part of this. I don't even understand why she got so upset about this.
Well, things are popping off right now. They're arguing, and now she's waving her phone at them. She's arguing, what do you want from me? What do you want? Curly fries? I'm not giving you curly fries, bitch.
And the guy even offered to pay. He's like, I'll pay for them again. I already paid for them, but I'll pay for them again. You just give me the curly fries. And these assholes will not. Oh, now they're chucking shit at them.
And then they threw shit back at them.
Well, yeah. I mean,
so that's what. Now the side of her face is now covered in shit. And that's why she's like, I'm getting my gun.
Oh, is that
and
what
happened?
And
now she pushes the other woman out of the way.
Yeah, she's like,
she's got the gun,
right,
and she can't get the window
I'll murder
open.
This motherfucker. She's not shooting it.
She's hanging out the window, firing like Yosemite Sam.
Drove away just in time.
Yeah, they
could
have
died.
If
that guy was in park when this happened, they'd be fucking dead. Well, I don't know. She's a bad shot. She probably would have.
And now she's like talking shit to everybody. I'll go back to jail. Yeah, you will, honey.
What an idiot.
Now, this was
hey, look at their next customer, the police.
Uh-oh. We'd like to have a conversation.
I got curly fries. Officer, we got plenty of curly fries. Here, help yourself. Have as many as you want.
Well, the father said he was dumbfounded by it. He couldn't believe it was happening. It was very scary. And it was more of a panic mode at the moment. I'm lucky I saw it when I saw it, and I was able to pull off when I did. And my initial reaction was to call the police. Now, they sued the Jack in the Box, obviously.
What? Yeah. Why sue the Jack in the Box?
Because they have more money than this woman.
Well, it's probably a franchise owner. It's not.
Yeah. Who probably has more money than this woman.
Well, I mean, listen,
if your employees are firing at people from the drive-thru,
I disagree.
You now have some type of liability.
I disagree.
According to the law. You do.
I think if you spill hot coffee on yourself, you should sue. But if a... But if an employee shoots a gun at you, you have no case.
Did you have to wait till I was sipping a beer to say that? I'm about to choke to death.
It's the only time you should sue a fast food restaurant is if you spill hot coffee
the coffee on yourself. Yep. Agreed.
This coffee's very hot!
What do you say you and I go to Starbucks later?
Ooh. You want to make some money today? Want to make some bank today?
Yeah.
All right, this might be our last episode ever, everyone.
We're in the money. Fuck Patreon.
No.
Just kidding. All right. Let's go to Singapore, shall we?
Yes.
Koo Wei Yang, he's 24. He's originally from Malaysia. He was sentenced to 5 months in jail recently after pleading guilty to using criminal force to outrage the modesty of a victim. Now, the laws are a little different over there, kids. I don't know if you notice that. Here's what happened. A girl who was 11 years old was coming home from school, and she was in an elevator with this guy.
Yes.
The elevator closed. She's looking straight ahead. He's standing behind her. There is a reflective surface on the doors of the elevator.
Yeah, so you can see
what's
going on.
So she's looking straight ahead at a reflection of the man behind her. Who is whipped out his dick.
Jacking it, jack. Spanking it, smack.
And as he's playing with his penis, he starts talking to her and saying things. And then he takes his penis and rubs it on this 11-year-old girl's elbow.
Ooh, little elbow action. Nice. That's
yeah.
That's tight.
Yeah. Not being able to move because she claimed she was too scared, she stayed still as Koo continued to rub her elbow with his genitals. When the lift arrived at her floor, the girl stepped out and Koo followed, trying to engage her to conversation by telling her that she had dropped something on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
That old gag.
Yep.
The girl turned back towards Koo, but then walked away when she realized she had not dropped anything.
So whipping,
you won't fool me.
Whipping it out and jerking off is not a good pickup move for an 11-year-old. Maybe a chick in her 30s, that'll work.
Yeah.
But 11-year-olds aren't into that.
Well, during the investigation, this man, Koo, admitted that he had touched the girl inappropriately due to his, quote, urges.
Oh, that's a dumb thing
to say.
The
old urges defense.
You got to say it was a mistake. You don't say it was urges.
My dick was out? Are you kidding me?
Right. You got to be like, well, I'm just as confused as you are, officer.
You know what? Now that you're telling me this, it did feel cool in there. I did feel
yeah,
a breeze.
It was drafty, actually. Yeah. My balls
were
as sweaty as usual.
Are you telling me that I actually bought my... Oh, my God. This is humiliating.
There was a girl in that elevator? Wait, you're telling me there was a girl in the elevator that I was just in? Are you kidding me? I don't remember there being a girl in
there
at all.
I'm pretty sure that was a midget.
Yeah, there's no... I mean, there was no one else in there.
Yeah.
I didn't see anyone.
Looked well over 18, that
midget. Instead, this fucking idiot goes, oh, I couldn't control myself because I have urges. Okay, well, off to jail with you then forever because you need to jerk off in front of 11-year-olds. That's a problem.
Bye. Have fun. So, last story, Carl. We're back to meth, and we're back to Florida. 37-year-old man was arrested Monday for allegedly killing his 16-year-old son with an angle grinder.
Oof. That sounds brutal.
Yeah, well, mow the lawn.
Right.
This is horrific. Now, September 4th, the Polk County Sheriff's Office did a press conference. They said this horrific incident occurred at a mobile home in Lake Wales.
Yeah.
The victim, Stephen Rhodes, lived with his grandfather, Thomas, while Thomas's wife was in rehab. Thomas's son and the suspect, Stephen Thomas Rhoda.
Wait, hold on a second. He lived with his grandfather.
Yep.
While his grandfather's wife was in rehab?
Correct.
This family's fucked.
They are very fucked.
Okay.
I'm just starting. Yep. We're just warming up on this fucking family. The Rhodas of the trailer park.
Yep.
Now, Lil Stevie Rhoda, we'll call him. His grandpa was Thomas Rhoda, and then his uncle was Stephen Thomas Rhoda. So Big Steve Rhoda.
I think his father. That's his father, not his uncle.
Well, this is the suspect, the guy who murdered him, is Stephen Thomas Rhoda.
The father, not
the
uncle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought he was his uncle. Okay.
No, he's this kid's dad.
Oh, well,
the 16-year-old's dad murdered him.
All right, so senior and junior.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm stupid. I said it was a father. Okay.
Yeah.
On Monday at about 8 a.m., Tom Rota left to go visit his wife at rehab. He got home about 3 hours later and saw Big Steve sitting outside, who allegedly told his father, I wouldn't go in there if I were you.
Yeah, it's not a good scene.
I killed someone, and I think you may need to call the police. Oof. Big Tom went inside the home and found his grandson, Lil Stevie, deceased in the dining room. According to the arrest affidavit, he was lying in a pool of blood with cuts on his arm, abdomen, head, ear, and other parts of his body.
Ear.
Deputies found hair in the victim's left hand, his teeth on the ground,
Jesus,
and an angle grinder with a broken saw next to his body. The police said Tom Rota claimed it was not uncommon for his son to talk bizarre because he, quote, used meth and suffered from psychotic episodes.
Yeah, meth will do that, apparently.
Steve and Thomas Rota, Big Steve, reportedly fled the scene before deputies arrived, but they soon caught him about a mile away, and he told the deputies, you know, you guys might need to read me my rights, I think.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, no problem, Big Steve. He has ties to other states, including South Carolina, Texas, Ohio, and said he was leaving to try to get there. I was trying to go to California. I mean, South Carolina, Ohio. I was going somewhere. Yeah, judge described little Steven as a standout, stellar young man, explaining he was due to start work at Burger King in a week.
Okay, first off, I'm sorry the 16-year-old kid was murdered horrifically, but he wasn't going to do anything with his life. Let's get over that fact right now. They're like, oh my gosh, this kid had all these things going for him.
Well,
no, he didn't. He lived in a fucking mobile home with his grandfather, and his dad's a meth head, and his grandma's in rehab. This was not going to go well for him either way.
He's probably 6 months away from firing a gun into a van with a family.
Thank you.
Yeah. So he's been booked in jail for first-degree murder.
Yeah.
And, quote, he is a worthless individual, according to the sheriff. So no argument there. Folks, I hope you enjoyed that part of the show. We're ready to watch some Rob Wolchek. Are you ready to watch some Rob Wolchek?
Let's get right into it.
All right. So, again, this is an attorney from Detroit turned investigative journalist who's always looking out for the little guy. And in this case, the little guy happens to be rappers, Carl.
Okay.
Because he's going
hip hop artists.
Yes, okay. I thought you would find this interesting because you used to be interested. One. Yes,
Master K. Correct.
Master K. Yes, and we both have worked in, you know, entertainment locally where you've had to deal with smaller venues and stuff like that where you don't have actual professional representation. And one of the things that's happened to me
when I'm in the isotopes, I'm not a big shot like I have in Detroit. Yes, this is true.
Correct. Now, Carl, have you ever been in a situation where you've been approached by somebody who wanted to, like, represent your band or represent you?
Sure.
Yeah. How would you describe these people? Usually bottom feeders, yeah?
Yeah, it's not someone I would choose to do business with.
Sure. I had a guy once who saw me at the old club in Webster, and he said, hey, he sent me an email. I have this company. I'm looking to book talent. I want to put together a comedy tour. I'd like to book you as an opener on this tour. I am very interested in hiring you. Would you like to meet up with me and talk to me about it? He was just somebody who said he was in the crowd. And I go to meet him, and this man looked like Lemmy, except worse, and shorter and fatter. And he was wearing a leather duster and a cowboy hat.
So he was like Lemmy if he didn't write all those great songs in Ace of Spades.
Now, I met him at a Starbucks, which he looked very out of place in.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at his car because I saw him out the window when he pulled in.
Mm-hmm.
He pulled into like a Woody station wagon. Ooh. That had like a magnetic door sign that said something entertainment on it.
Oh, no.
And that's when I knew, I don't think this is the guy for me.
Probably not.
And then he presented me with a contract, which was 3 years exclusively to his company and his booking. It was the craziest
Does
thing
that
I've ever
work?
Read.
Is he getting people to do this? What are they
idiots? I politely declined, obviously, but I couldn't fucking believe it. And I said, can I keep a copy of that contract? And
he goes,
no. And he wouldn't let me have one.
I want to read it on stage. It's part of my act.
Come on. I want to goof on you. Yeah. I'm going to be making fun of you on a podcast in 15 years.
What a fucking loser.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I've dealt with these types of people before.
Okay.
I don't know if you have, but
not to
this
that
was
degree.
Fascinating to me because this guy is very similar, except in the world of hip hop.
Okay.
So Rob Wolchek, let's get the skinny from Rob on what's going on. Who's the target?
I had a guy who wanted to represent the Isotopes introduce me, because he knew them, to Blue Oyster Cult. I went backstage at the show.
Was he a short little Italian guy?
No.
Okay.
He introduces me to Blue Oyster Cult, and he goes, hey, this is Carl, this is blah, blah, blah. And he's like, give him your CD. And I'm like, here's our CD. And the guy's like, okay. Blue Easter Coat was popular in the 70s. Like, what is this going to do for me?
Did this guy think he was like going to wow you with that? Did he think he was going
to
like...
I don't know. I don't know who he was trying to impress with this. It was the most awkward situation. I don't want to hand the guy from Blue Easter Coat my CD. What the fuck?
It's probably not even an original member at this
point. It was the original. Anyway.
Whatever. Okay.
Here we go.
The guy with the afro?
So Blue Easter Cult has, at that time, had their original guitarist and other guitarist and singer and keyboard player, but then the drummer and bass player were like kids in their 20s.
Okay.
It was just so fucking weird. They're like playing with their dad's band or something.
What anyway. A fucking weird thing that's. You know who I always felt weird for? Fucking Wolfgang Van Halen.
Right. I saw them on that tour.
Yeah.
And Wolfgang does not fit in with those old timers.
So weird. Like, and Mark Anthony's just sitting at home going, what the fuck?
Mark Anthony? No, it's
Mike Anthony. Michael Anthony.
Mike Anthony, yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I know. They fucked him over hard.
Yeah.
The Van Halens are assholes. I don't know if anyone knows that. But.
Yeah, well, rest in hell.
Moving on.
All right, let's see who Rob Wolchek is going to talk to us about today, kids.
Poetics bills himself as a big-time rapper who claims he can take his experience in the music biz and turn your rhymes into dollar signs.
He promised to book me shows. He was supposed to manage me.
So you gave me $800?
Mm-hmm.
But these artists say Poetics is nothing but a hip-hop hustler who signed them and promised them big shows that never happened.
Okay, so already I love Rob Wolchek.
Yep.
He's got all the right puns.
Yep.
He's got all the right puns.
Yep.
He's got all the right level of camp that I want in this.
Mm-hmm.
So far, Rob, you are scratching me right where I itch. I don't like this Poetics guy already.
Yep, I have a feeling he's a bad dude.
Yeah, let's go to clip two.
Lil French is a popular Metro Detroit rapper who has managed on his own to get more than 50,000 Twitter followers and 28,000 Facebook fans.
What is he on the
Seeing
network?
His popularity, he was contacted by Will Horvath, a.k.a. Poetics, and his female assistant.
Will and Jamie found me.
In January, Lil French met with Poetics at the City Edge Bar in Taylor.
He said that he owned it.
Not only did Poetics say he owned the bar, he also owned Extreme Entertainment. Lil French paid Horvath, Poetics, $800 and signed a contract.
Okay.
Hold on.
A lot of red flags.
A lot of red flags. Extreme Entertainment.
With an X.
Oh, what a dork. What a fucking dork. I would never work with a company called Extreme Entertainment.
Ooh.
Watch out. This guy uses the C word on his podcast.
So we booked the Isotopes and a guy who cuts himself on stage. It's extreme.
Right. Yeah. Stupid.
Oh, my God. So what does the contract say, Carl? Let's talk about the contract. Next clip.
The contract states, Extreme Entertainment and William Horvath agree to do the following under the conditions of this agreement for 1 year. Book Lil French for the purpose of musical performance within the state of Michigan for the term of 1 year at a minimum of 10 events to be held at 700-plus capacity venues.
Okay, it seems like overpromising.
That's a lot. I mean, how many 700-plus seat venues are there in Detroit?
We just played the Magic Bag. That's not that big.
No, that's...
And that's a big place.
Less than half of this.
Yeah.
So this is a really crazy thing to promise you.
Yeah.
And I also go, this guy just said he gave him $800 in cash.
Right.
Before he signed this contract, which, guys, if somebody wants to represent you, you don't have to pay them.
Also, I want to point this out.
That's the oldest scam in the world.
I know we're not mad at the famous rapper in this.
Yeah.
We're mad at the other guy. But... So the guy's got 56,000 Twitter followers or whatever.
What
and then the
doing?
Photo of him they showed, he was performing next to a pool table. He wasn't even on a stage. I'm like, well, it doesn't seem like he's doing that well.
Well, he uses the Shuley Network's publicist.
I see.
They do a good job with that.
I got
52, it. 52,000.
I get it.
Okay. I'm fucking around, Shul. So this contract is clearly... Seems a little too good to be true, Carl.
Yes.
Obviously, he took money from you and then had you sign this. He's putting stars in your eyes and completely conning you.
Yep.
Here's the worst part of this contract, Carl. Ready?
Yep.
Next clip.
When I signed with Will, Poet X, he was like, I don't want none of my artists performing for anybody except me.
So Lil French ceased playing other gigs, waiting for the 10 big shows Poet X promised. Gigs that never happened.
Okay, so not only is he going to promise you these shows that this guy, I mean, this is pie in the sky fucking shit.
Yeah.
Not only is that, but you're not allowed to do anything else. So, you know, your gig with the pool table,
yeah.
You're not even allowed to go do that anymore.
Don't do that.
You work for me exclusively. You're you're under the label, the wing of Extreme Entertainment. Now, Carl, Let's keep going because this gets more interesting and more interesting.
All right. Let's see. This one is, who is Poet X?
Yes, let's find out about Poet X, shall we?
So, who is Poet X? He claims to be a big rap recording artist since the 90s. In his interview with him on SoundClick, he says, when I was younger, signed with a major after doing a show with Tupac. I signed a bogus ass contract. On his personal page, it says, Poetics is the name. I've been blessing the mic since age 16. Pavidou's been there, done that. I have the talent, will, and determination to do what I was put on this earth by God to do. Make great music. And nobody on this earth will stop me.
Dues payer! He paid his dues!
So, this guy is, well, number one, Rob, you don't do that voice anymore.
Are you kidding me? I would watch this all day.
I know.
I would, just him reading the interview answers is fantastic.
All right, so let's keep going. You're going to like this.
Let's play some of that great music. Here I go again, don't need no patter or padding, cause I'm so damn salty about these rappers and trends. Well, now that we know this guy is good, let's get back to our story.
This guy's
Rob!
Fucking
he's just
it.
Dunking on this fucking guy.
Well, now that we know he's good.
Now that we know he's great at this.
That's hilarious.
All right, let's meet the next. Let's meet the next victim.
Okay.
Lyrical Lips is also a Detroit rapper. She too was contacted by Poetics and met him at his bar in Taylor and signed a deal. She paid him $360. She, like Little French, has the receipts. And like Little French, she was promised 10 700-plus venue gigs. She got none.
I was number 8 on the charts for Detroit hip-hop before he came along. I ended up number 239.
What?
How many rappers are there in Detroit?
What charts is she talking about?
Detroit what is rap charts, Carl.
What?
Carl, she was number 8.
What's she talking? The fuck she talking about? They were just showing her performing in a bar that seemed like it wasn't a performance.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, ma'am, can you please put the microphone down? No one told you to set up a PA over here.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I noticed. So, Carl.
The Detroit rap charts.
Yeah.
I got to look those up.
I think we need to find out more about them. And by the way, next time you talk to Drew Lane, could you please tell him to get us Rob Wolchek because they're friends.
Oh, that's right. They are.
Yeah. We need to get this. I just remembered that as we were talking about Detroit.
Good call.
All right. So what gigs did he get them, Carl? Let's find
out. The only gig Lips and Lil French did for Will Horvath was a non-paying small bar show on St. Patrick's Day.
He charged a $5 cover fee for anyone that came into the bar. Even the artists that were performing had to pay that $5 to get in.
Then they say Poet X disappeared. But I found him. Poet X in the house. His mom's house. He lives with his mom in an apartment complex in Allen Park.
Yes, Rob!
Fucking hilarious.
Rob dunking again.
Jesus Christ. You know what? Charging a fee to the performers, I should have done that to Ray DeVito. Now that I think about it.
It'd be $800, so right? And I'm going to exclusively book you for the next year.
I should have charged it for the meet and greet. Hey, Ray, let me sign that poster for you, and you owe me $60.
How about a bill for the beers and the pizza?
Don't get me started.
Carl.
This is hilarious.
Dude, the fucking great line. And
he's in the house.
X in the house. His mom's house.
It's fucking
Rob,
great.
You fucking rule, my man. All right, keep them coming.
On this contract here, it says you're going to have 10 shows at a 700-plus capacity venue.
Yeah, but I had personal problems, and they all knew about that.
They say they didn't.
He changed his number, and I haven't heard from him since.
Why are they coming to me and telling me that you
ripped
them
off?
I have
no idea, but I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. This stuff's all going to be resolved within the next, like, probably 30 to 60 days.
So, I love he goes, yeah, but I have personal problems. That has nothing to do with any contract, sir. No one cares about your fucking personal problems.
They all knew that I have personal problems.
Well, of course, I didn't fulfill the contract. I have personal problems. So what are we even talking about?
Pathological liar is one of them.
Yeah, in fact, this is becoming another one of my problems right now.
They should have known better.
This interview.
In fact, they should have known better.
Wow.
Okay, let's keep going. Whose fault is it?
Poetics blames any miscommunication on his former assistant, Jamie.
I tried to get a hold of her to let her know via Facebook and through some other people to please get a hold of me on a different telephone number that I had because my phone had gotten smashed. And Facebook, when I tried to contact Facebook to tell them, you know, I needed the password to get into my computer, mm-hmm. They told me that they couldn't give it to me, that I had to show them a photo ID.
Whatever that means.
First off, I just want to point this out. When your phone gets smashed, you don't lose your number.
I guess I have to get a whole new number. And
I had to get a new phone number because my phone broke.
I'm just going to tell you something. I do not know of anybody in the entertainment business, high-powered managers that conduct their business through Facebook, and their entire business is thwarted because they lost their Facebook password.
Here is the real victim in all of this.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk to her?
Oh, no. This poor woman.
Yeah, you want to talk to her? She's coming up next.
Poor fucking woman. I mean, she should have known to get in touch with me because I tried to tell her on Facebook that I can't get into it. I told some friends of friends that...
Yeah. I mean, what am I supposed to do? I'm just one man.
This guy's an asshole.
All right. Let's find out what Jamie says about the situation. Because Rob, I want to tell you this. What I love about Rob, he is very meticulous.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell him something... He looks into it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
like when he goes, whatever that means. I contacted Facebook and told him I needed my password.
Yeah, and Mark Zuckerberg tried to ID me.
Yeah, they wanted my ID. Okay.
And I don't have one of those on account of it being smashed with my
phone. Yeah, we've all been there. I get it.
Here's what his former assistant Jamie says.
I've never once booked a show for these artists. They kept going like, where's he at? It's always, you know, I got to do this today, I got to do that. Oh, we're waiting on Ticketmaster, we're waiting on so-and-so. There's always an excuse not to do a show.
Ticketmaster?
I'm waiting for a callback from Ticketmaster?
Yeah. I mean, I'm on the phone with Madison Square Garden every day, so, you know, we'll get it booked eventually.
I've been calling the Silver Dome.
The Silver Dome.
They tore down the Silver Dome, Poet X. Oh, that's why they're not getting back to me. That explains it.
Holy shit.
This fucking guy sucks so much.
I love it.
But I really love Rob. Keep him coming, Carl. Keep him going.
And it appears Poetix has signed artists and blown off shows before. I show him a lawsuit by a guy named Phil.
Who's this guy? Philip Mooney. Philip Mooney, he sued you a few years ago, says he's losing income from lost shows performance, breach of contract. So you did this to...
He was probably a breached artist, yeah. It doesn't happen. I mean, there are other artists that
well,
has
who
happened
who are you
to...
that you can just take money from people and then drop them?
I don't.
I mean, you know, you act like, you know, oh, I'm Poetix, I'm some kind of big shot.
Well, yeah, I am.
That was the one I knew was going to get you. I should have warned you not to drink.
I know. I was having to take a sip of my beverage just then.
Oh, you do? I think you're some kind of big shot. I am.
Do you even know who you're fucking talking to right now?
I'm standing in front of my mother's apartment walking to my old ass beat fucking car.
Ah, Meatloaf. Fuck.
See? My new assistant's on top of things. Oh, he sucks so much.
All right, let's go to Have You Done This Before, Part 2.
Yes.
Well, Mr. Big Shot, let's see what Philip Mooney has to say. Phil played in a band in 2009. Horvath signed him to a contract like Lil Branches and Lips.
He stopped booking us. I sued him.
And?
I won.
He sued you and won. You didn't show up to court.
He did not sue me and win. Okay, the bottom line was...
Dude, I'm looking at it.
Dude. He did not sue me and win. He goes, well, you didn't show up to court. Yeah, he didn't sue me and win. I didn't go defend myself. That's the fucking trademark of a loser.
This is making me uncomfortable to be this asshole. It takes so much work to make no money. You're getting people for $800, $300 at a time. Just go fucking get a job, dude.
But he's what are you doing? Don't you understand? He was signed to an indie label after he opened for Tupac.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But it was a bum-ass contract.
Bum-ass contract.
So now all he knows how to do is write bum-ass contracts.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, keep it coming.
When's the next time you got a show going?
Oh, I don't have anything booked right now. Like I said, I just got everything.
Okay, I got two contracts from two different people that said you were going to book them to 10 shows in the next year
for
700 people. Well, regardless, you sign the contracts. And you don't have any shows, and you didn't have any shows, and you don't have any shows coming up.
I will.
So it sounds like you're in breach of contract.
No.
No,
I'm going to.
I'm good.
I'll do it tomorrow.
Ticketmaster's going to call any minute. God, you know what, man? I love this so much. There's nothing more I like than watching these kind of people get
Well, I don't even know why he's talking to Rob.
This is so wildly satisfying.
No comment. I just walk away. You know what I mean? There's no obligation to talk to this guy.
There's a million people who run the fucking other way when they see this guy.
Yes.
In Detroit, if you see this guy with the microphone walking up to your business, lock the fucking doors, fucking burn the place down before he gets
well,
to the front.
Only if you're up to no good, I would say.
I don't know. I don't even think I'd sell this guy a watch. Okay. Keep going, Carl.
How about the first event that I do that you come out to with your camera crew? Sure. How about that?
I got a feeling I'm going to be waiting a long time for that gig.
He just fucking just dunks on this guy.
Hilarious. I love it. It's
keep
great.
Him coming.
Poetic says he still wants to represent Lil Franch, but Lyrical Lips breached her contract, and he's not paying her back, even though he signed this paper in June saying he was paying her back.
Rob is the best. These are just little picks, things.
But
little takes.
It's also petty. Like, even the lawsuit that he lost was, like, for $600 or something. They showed on the screen. I feel like I'm in the Shuli Network land, where or the Dabbleverse, which is like, he owes me $100! This guy owes me $20!
It is how... The fact that you're calling the news over $800...
Gets a fuck.
Listen.
All right, but it's fun. I like it.
I love watching a liar get busted, and that's all
too.
I care about. I don't care if it's over a dollar. I love watching it.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
This is fun.
When's the last menus. Show you did?
Last show you did?
Probably 2008, 2009, before I wound up getting sick and buying my bar.
If someone asked me, when's the last show you did? And I start with a year, that's not good. That means things aren't going well for me.
I would say that maybe you're not the big shot you think you are.
Yeah, maybe not.
So he bought a bar.
Okay,
Let's learn more about that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. The bar he owned.
He acted like he owned it, but he didn't own it. And he was taking people's money.
You're the owner,
I'm
right?
The owner.
And you've owned it for what, 17
years? 17 years.
Meet Mark Brown. According to state records, City Edge is his bar. Mark says he threw Poet X, who was managing the place, out.
So he didn't own shit. He was a manager at the place. And he was using that lie to these people, bringing people into that business, lying to them about his other business, taking money from them, all while pretending to own the place.
This is almost like Tom Myers. Tom Myers.
The Mexican restaurant?
Works at a Mexican restaurant.
My name's on the liquor license!
Yes! That's the thing he brags about, as if like that means he has some type of ownership or something. This guy is a fucking loser.
Now under new management site.
Yeah,
you know how shitty you have to be? To have a now under new management sign on the outside of a business.
And no offense.
That's a middle finger to who worked there last.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's actually kind of a funny story. Are you familiar with...
Did they have a media play after you left?
No. Are you familiar with Hogan's Hideaway on Park Avenue here in Rochester?
Yeah.
It's now called The Hideaway. And my wife worked there...
Am I familiar with Hogan's Hideaway, brother?
My wife worked there as a server for many, many years.
Okay.
And a lot of her friends worked there, too. A lot of people that we still hang out with used to work there. They had a whole crew over there. We went there for brunch the other day. There is a sign on the wall that talks all about how the restaurant lost their way and the service used to suck, but everything's better now. I go, hey, Jen, read that thing right there on the wall. She's like, what the fuck? She took a photo of it, sent it to all her friends. She's like, what, their motherfucking house in this place? What the fuck? What did it say? But that's the same thing. It's like under two badges. Like, yeah. We know this place used to fuck. It's like, and no offense to Mark, the guy who owns this place. It doesn't look like a great bar anyway.
You don't City's say. Edge. I mean, the place is fucking dark.
If I own this place, I wouldn't be bragging about it.
Yeah, we're on the edge of Detroit. It's beautiful.
Oh, God. All right. Sorry.
No, you're good.
A little aside for you.
This is just fun to me.
I'm still trying to figure out who the heck you are.
I'm an artist developer. I've been developing artists since 2001.
Who have you developed?
I've worked with plenty of artists and getting them the numbers that they need to substantiate their claims of buzzworthiness from a local to
so I can contact.
Give
me a name,
bars.
Dude.
A spiel.
Give me a name of somebody. Name somebody.
A local artist?
Yeah.
The only local artist that ever did anything that went big with verifiable numbers came from me and two other sources. And that artist was...
Who?
The artist is no longer here. Okay, but the bottom line is that he did what he had to do, and unfortunately his life was taken.
No,
he's perished. He's passed away. I helped him to get his.
You know, dude, it just seems really convenient.
Why can't he? He's a bad liar.
Not one person. The worst liar I've ever seen.
Eminem. Just say Eminem. That's all you gotta say.
Marshall Mathers.
Right. That's all you gotta say.
Yeah,
and then let Rob fucking chase out Eminem and ask him questions.
That would be fun to watch.
That would be hilarious.
I asked Eminem if he's ever heard of Poet X.
Yeah.
And he said, who the fuck are you and why are you in my house?
So I was at City Edge with Eminem the next week. And
oh, shit.
Wow. What a fucking moron.
All right. This is my favorite trademark. This is the end of the story. This is Rob Wolchek's famous sign-off, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not.
Poetics. More like pathetics.
Oh!
The Hall of Shame.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking great.
Fuck you, poetics. Awesome.
Excellent presentation today.
I hope you enjoyed that.
Even though you had nothing to do with it.
I did all the work.
You did a great job.
I did all the work.
You did a very great job.
Watching that video and clipping it. I have more, and if you guys like it and you want to see more Rob Wolchek investigates, yes, please let us know in the chat, and I will...
You know what? I don't care what they say. I want more.
Okay, so...
Make it happen.
We're doing, next week, we're doing a Thunder in Paradise.
Yes!
Which is our way. Which is our way! We will not change for you. First Monday, or first Friday of the month. Then we are going to do, hopefully, I'm going to have somebody picked for the Hall of Fame. Hopefully, we're going to have all that worked out. And then we're going to do probably some Pedo Hunter Theater and a little Rob Wolchek Investigates. And we are going to, next time we touch on this, we are going to watch two videos from him.
I'm so mad at you right now.
Why? Because I'm planning things out?
Yes, because I always get questions from people who I ask to host WATP with me.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Carl, what show are we doing? And they'll ask me this like two weeks in advance. And I'm like, yeah. I don't know. How can I possibly know that? That's 2 weeks from now. And then they'll ask me a week out. Hey, do you know what show we're doing? I'm like, no, of course I don't. And then they'll ask me the day before, and I'm like, yeah, hold on. Let me get back to you on that. This level of planning is new to me. I'm not aware of how you even pull this off.
This is how we do things at the Creep Off.
Wow.
And what we're going to watch with Rob Wolchek, he busted two fucking Detroit judges, two separate videos, went after judges,
nice,
and they're phenomenal. So nice. We'll get to those at some point next month.
You know what that just was? That was a... Good stuff, Eddie.
We're going to tease, baby.
Good stuff.
All right. I'll see you tomorrow for WATP.
Yes. Vinny will be back here. WATP. Whoarethese.com is where you can go to find all the information about that.
Yep.
But who cares? This is the Creep Off.
Everybody cares about WATP, Carl.
That's right. They do, Vinny.
Everybody cares about WATP. It's all WATP this, WATP that. Hey, Vinny, you were great on WATP. Cool. Have you ever heard the Creep Off? No. What's that? Carl doesn't talk about that. I've never heard of it.
I gotta say, it is nice to be important.
It's more important to be nice, Gagina.